Welcome to Torah Conversations, a show where we discuss the weekly Torah portion read in synagogues all over the world from a messianic and Christian perspective for all believers, Jew and Gentile, to connect with God's heart for Israel. This week, we're going to be discussing the portion of Chayei Sarah from Genesis 23:1 to 25:18. So if you have a Bible, we want to invite you to open it up and read it with us. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and change your life. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Torah Conversations, where we discuss the weekly Torah portion read in synagogues all over the world from a messianic and Christian perspective for all believers, Jew and Gentile, to connect with the Jew, God's heart for Israel. Now, this week, Chaim Melspin is back with us. Chaim, how is it going?
Well, I'm out here in the nature, actually over here in some building area and in the Galilee, always building, always doing a bunch of stuff for new immigrants, helping them out. You know, AliyahReturnCenter.com is all about giving them a good start, teach a man to fish. Hebrew studies. So yeah, I'm here and I'm excited about Abraham's promise is still coming true even today in 2022.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, we do have a very rich portion this week, really, which talks a lot about, you know, at the end, we're probably not going to go into it too much, but the end actually talks about the sons of Keturah, which is very interesting.
Yes.
All of Abraham's sons, Abraham's descendants are not just sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had many nations, like promised, right? So all of that is part of the promise. It's a glorious promise, and you guys are living that promise. You know, there are issues to sort out, but it's good. It's good, right? Yeah, but I do want to really quickly, just before we get into the portion, obviously you guys had an election recently. And your former prime minister seems to be back. Now, without getting too political, how do you think this will affect Israel as a nation or even society as a nation? How Israel relates to, you know, other countries internationally.
Yeah, well, one of our best foreign, relations person is Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister again now, as you just said. He did, the Abraham Accords, what he did along with American President Trump, along with other presidents, he always was a very strong figure. He's been around like a dinosaur. He's been around so long. And but people, there's been so much roller coaster instability after we had other leaders coming after him and trying to form a government, trying to barter things and positions and stuff. And it just was such a nightmare, really, because it's no one had the political sway or the political the backing that he had. And so people all hit the polls and overwhelming majority voted for him. And so we feel like hopefully, please God, let there be a season of less instability. If you have instability in the government, you feel like nothing's working. No bills can be approved. You can't move forward. You're just in political limbo. But now we're excited about a new season of let's get back on the horse and gallop. He knows his stuff. He knows how to do everything. If anybody knows, he's the longest serving prime minister ever in Israel. God keep him healthy, keep him safe, and it's all going to be great.
Yeah. It's interesting that, about this time last year, I can't remember when exactly the last election was, which month exactly, but what the Lord said to me at that time was what I saw in a vision was similar to what Jacob went through wrestling with an angel, angel of the Lord, and then going through it and be left with a limp, but at the same time having encountered God. And then what I felt the Lord speak to me actually quite strongly was that it was a sign of a Jacob generation in Israel and the nations. And I actually felt that I saw Benjamin Netanyahu going through something like that in terms of the election. Now, I didn't know that it was going to take a year for that to come through, but I did sense that he was going to go through
come out the other side
in a better state. So and now he has come back. And I do pray that this will be a sign, not that we put our trust in any politician, but to whatever degree God uses anybody, or any way, in any way that the Lord speaks to his people.
Right.
You know, I pray that we will step into what the Lord has. That's Amen. My prayer.
Amen. Amen. More time for sowing into the kingdom, for harvesting the harvest, you know, and not just the end of times and everything's all, you know, done for. I think there's still that time. It feels like there's that extra grace period here, and just to run with it. And all the nations are streaming here. We're busier than busy. Mm. It's great.
Good stuff. Well, the portion now, Chaye Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah's life. Well, actually, it's Sarah's death.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Beginning with so Sarah's funny. Death.
It starts with yeah, dying. Yeah. First verse. Yeah. Dead.
Right. Okay. So it's Sarah's life from chapter 23 to 25, three chapters.
Yeah.
Great portion. Beginning with Sarah's death. And it talks about, Sarah dying and then Abraham mourning for Sarah and getting a tomb, being blessed by the Hittites. And then it talks about finding a wife for Isaac. And then meeting Rebecca and lots of lessons to learn from that. That's basically what it's about, really. And then takes us all the way up to Abraham's death. So, let's share our thoughts. What are your thoughts about this whole portion?
Yeah, I mean, it's the patriarchs. There's nobody like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There's nobody that gives us a better example of how God can use and bless and walk with and befriend humans. And through their struggles, through their imperfections, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you think of this, these strange phenomenons where you have God saying, I am the son of David. You have Yeshua saying, I'm the son of David, the creator of the universe, who was here before time began, to say he's the son of a guy called David. Kind of crazy. If you think about that, I can't call God crazy, but such a trust in an imperfect man. Now you look here where God presents himself, the God of the universe presents himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the friend of Abraham. That's such a thing to say, instead of just saying or even saying I'm the God of Israel. These are the ways he introduces himself. He doesn't just say I am that I am. No, he says I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you have here such a special picture. And I just really wanted to jump into this place where you have Abraham saying, I want to buy this specific cave. Now, they were going to offer him another place. Ephron was going to offer him another place here. But he says in verse 9, he says, give me the cave of Machpelah, I don't know how you pronounce it in English, which he has, which is in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, he will give it to me for possession of a burying place among you. So one, there's a friendship of the first Jew, you might call him, the first Jew. You could, I don't know if you want to call them that. And now this other guy, these children of Heth, I want to be together. There's a Jew and Gentile working together. But there's also such a cool thing. He paid like $2 million when he could have got a free place somewhere else. And now it's in such a dispute. You know, I was on the news not that long ago discussing one of my workers that was trying to get to this very tomb of the patriarchs. I bring groups there. I brought a group just recently without getting lost and not without being on the news. And brought the group there, and it's such an interesting place. People do get shot around there. It's a hot spot in this promised land, Judea and Samaria. But it is his place. And not only Abraham, also Isaac, also Jacob, and their wives, Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, are all buried there. Some say even Adam and Eve buried there. Yeah. I just thought it's very cool that this verse is such a hot spot right now. People are getting shot.
I mean, it's the first place that that's legally owned, assigned to their name since the promise. So it's Hebron, isn't it? It's Hebron, in the land. In it's like, is it 2,000 Israeli soldiers protecting 800 settlers or residents there, Jewish residents there? It's absolutely madness.
But then if you look at the other set, there's a bunch that are around. Total, it's thousands and thousands of Jewish people. Like in Kiryat Arba, in Hebron, and all the ones that are in the little clump. But 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 you got to say, do we believe this word is true? Are we just going to throw this out? Why are we even reading it if we don't really care about that and say, hey, those guys, they're there. I know it's super controversial, but they're there.
Yeah.
And they're there because that's the land God promised them. And
I think the fact that you need that many soldiers to protect like a small community, that I think that actually proves this is true, because there is no other reason than spiritual to explain why there's so much contention. It's because of the covenant, and the reason people are against it is because the human nature, the very human nature, is against the Almighty who created who made the covenant with Israel to redeem the earth, and that's why. And I think this is extremely significant. So it's really, really good. So
it also shows inflation, that 400 shekels is now like worth $2 million, but that's only 400 shekels back in the day. That's inflation for you.
yeah. If only we can go back in time and then, well, buy some money before we go, you know, get back in time and then get rich and stuff. But anyway, we're not gonna go into that, but
anyway,
well, I think we'll get into the portion in more details, but I think you already covered chapter 23 pretty well. I mean, that's pretty much like literally every what it's about. I mean, what it's Gentiles, you know, God using Gentiles to bless Israel, but at the same time, Abraham says, no, I want to buy it, because this is, he recognized the significance of this very spot.
Yes.
It's like when a seed is sown in the ground, it reproduces, and it's almost that kind of spiritual principle. It's like, this is the spot where I'm going to sow, you know, we're gonna sow ourselves in, and then our sons and daughters will inherit
Absolutely.
The land and all that. Yeah, it's awesome. Well, chapter 24, I love it's a long chapter. It covers quite a few stories, but finding a spouse for Isaac, it's a very interesting way, the way they do it. It's very different from the way we do it today. But what I noticed, right, Abraham saying to his servant, and this is significant, he says that he asked him, says, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord. What this, I mean, this is obviously talking about his male organ, but what I think this is talking about the seed. It's like, for the sake of the seed.
Right.
Yeah. That the Lord has promised. The same seed in Genesis, same seed in Noah, same seed in Abraham. Is that it's that seed that's going to pass down.
Absolutely.
That manifests as Messiah. For the sake of the seed, please do not find my son a wife from the Canaanites.
Right.
But go back to my home country and find a wife there. Right?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
And you know what it is families, people lose the importance. Oh, families are fun. Yay. I get to have a family time. And no, it's about God's destiny. It's about raising an actual pure, what is that called? Discipleship. Where it's a discipleship where people are discipled in the kingdom, sons and son's sons and daughters and sons, and you and from generation to generation, and they are those who are trained to be kings and priests in the world to come. And so that's kind of being lost as families are destroyed and people don't value families. And he's like, everything matters on this. And also, I just love, if you go down to verse 6, you know, bring not my son hither again. Okay, so the servant is, says, he's saying, what do you say to this woman? And he tells her in verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me in my father's house from my land, and he said, unto you and your seed, there it is again, I will give this land, and he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife from my son unto thence. And if the woman is willing to follow you, so really what it is, no one's ever, so I've never heard this anywhere, but he's presenting to her, and we miss this because we don't have our Aliyah glasses on. Okay.
Right.
So if we have our Aliyah glasses on, he's saying, will you join my generation in the Aliyah story? Will you join yourself to an Aliyah adventure? Because this is what God has said, and the angel's going before, and it's an Aliyah. And that's what you got to tell her. And if she wants to do it, great. If she doesn't want to do it, then she's not the right one. It's an Aliyah test.
Yes. And the way the servant's done it, it's so interesting, is that this is probably breaks every protocol of the prophetic in the church today. Some may even say manipulative.
It's like, we're doing a prophetic act. Grab hold. It's like, well.
Yeah. Maybe. It's like, yeah, has it doesn't seem like the Lord has confirmed it with Rebecca.
Right.
But he just said it. But anyway,
right.
We're not going to get into that. But he says, behold, I'm standing by the verse 13, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water.
Right.
And now maybe that the girl whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one
right.
whom you have appointed for Isaac. And then Rebecca comes out and she does exactly that. So he says, well, this is crazy. The Lord spoke this to me and you did this exactly the exact thing that the Lord said. And then Rebecca was like, wow, so good. And they go back to, I'm just covering it really quickly. They go back to their family, meet the family, and then tell the story to the family, to her brother and her father. And turns out, well, they said, well, in verse 50, the matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you bad or good. And here's Rebecca before you, take her and go. And then he said, the kind of backtracking a little bit, let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10 days. And then the servant of Abraham said, do not delay me. Right.
Right.
What are your thoughts on this? So much in here.
It's so much. But you know what? There's so much in there to even go into. But I love the whole thing about the dowry here. Where does this dowry come from? You know, you get married and say, who gives the dowry? I don't get why the daughter gives the dowry. Biblically, it's the guy. It's the opposite.
Right.
It's just the way it is, that the guy would give, kind of like purchase her from the husband, pay the dowry at the wedding. But now I guess modern Americans, the father of the bride pays as well, I guess. Mm. Is that right? So strange. Anyway, point is, there's this whole dowry here, and it's like, okay, how many camels we're doing? We got some bracelets, we got some earrings, and she goes and brings it to her family right there, to Laban. And now, why Laban and not her dad? That's a question. But because we know who her dad is here, but then she anyway goes. She's close with this Laban because that's introducing him to the story where he gets kind of greedy. I almost think this is where he starts getting greedy. He sees, hey, some money people are here.
Wow.
And wow, I see the bracelets. I see these things. Let's milk this thing all the way. And so you have the whole Laban story, as we know. Wow. But I just thought that's interesting with the dowry. And like what I did, I said, I don't have the money to offer a dowry for my wife, because we're married with three kids. And I remember going to him and to the father, and I said, look, I don't have camels to bring to you, but what I will do, I guarantee you, I will continue to help the Jewish people to return, just as it says in the Bible. I'll help them get established. Wow. And I'll even do more. I'll offer the nations a role to play in this story. I'll say, guys, practically, you can come to Israel and participate in it. And I've been doing that for like 10 years, and it's just been an adventure every day.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. It's so good when family and marriage is like all unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Because then the Lord kind of just orchestrates everything. And
yeah,
it's great. It's great. And I'm glad that, you know, in a way, because this is not the way that modern people do it, but Isaac had no part in play in choosing the spouse. It's like he was like, whatever the Lord has for me, I will take.
Yeah.
Right. So this is pretty good, which we're gonna see in a minute. But what I see right here, I think there's a lesson to learn not delaying, because I think the family of Rivka wanted her to stay for a few more days so that she might change her mind.
Could be.
So it's like, because for her to leave her entire family behind to join God's journey of producing a nation, or many nations actually, it's costly. She needs to give up everything, and it's a hard thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. It's easy to get excited about a prophetic word, but when the rubber hits the road, you know, how you really gonna feel. So true. I think this is the lesson here, is that when God speaks, do not delay.
Right.
It's like, do not look back, because then we're going to falter between, you know, what God is saying and what we want.
Right.
And I think this is so good.
And you see her, you see her not like Laban. You see her not saying, oh, great, you know, I'm going to be a princess, a Disney princess, and I'm just going to, I want everyone to serve me hand and foot because I look beautiful. I mean, it's not what it was. She goes and says, look, she said, let me drink, I pray. And she made haste and carried, wow. She's got some muscles, you know, and carrying pitchers, ran. Okay, wow, she's really, really making haste and draw and you know and drawing for the camels also. So that's a lot of work. Camels drink a lot of water. I don't know if you've ever seen how much a camel drinks, but she's a tough one, and she's the one that the Lord looks for is a virtuous woman, not a you know stuck up woman.
Mm-hmm. And then and then we see so they eventually blessed Rivka to go, and may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. And then Rivka rose with her maids, and they mounted the camels, and they followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. And now this is what I love. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahai Roy, but he was living in the Negev. That's the same well
South
that
country.
Was dug by his what do you call this? Was it Hagar or is it Abraham? Or
yeah, Abraham. Abraham and Hagar, Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah. But he was there to meditate.
Yeah.
And then when he was meditating, when he was praying.
Yeah.
and even like, I think it says, when was it at sundown? I think, what does it say? Oh, towards evening. So this probably at one of the appointed times, daily offerings, the evening, the time of the evening offering. It's interesting is that he went there to pray at the set time. At the set appointed time, and then he lifted up his head and then saw Rivka coming. So it's like this is like in, when he's in prayer, when he's connected to God, and God begins to
it's just ahead. This whole seek you first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. What a claim. It's I heard a clinical psychologist once say, he said, either someone who says this, they're either completely insane. Because, you know, seek ye first an unseen kingdom first. You're doing that 100% of your time. And all these things like diapers and rent money and dog food and vacation and family, it's all going to be just your wife's just going to plop, you know, just show up. And that is, and so it's like, is that insane or is it real?
Right.
You could put it to the test. Right, you could also look at historical accounts. And see, and you can look in your own life. But look, there's a lot of time has passed since that claim was made by a Galilean rabbi by the name of Yeshua. Mm. A lot of time has passed, and we have enough evidence to actually put that in a finding of that clinical psychology and say, yes, we will invest 100% into the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes, brilliant. And I love the last verse here. And Isaac brought her, so they basically got married right on the spot. Married at first sight. Isaac thought brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rivka, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
Yeah.
I love that. It's like when, because we didn't realize that he doesn't talk about how Isaac was sad. It doesn't mention so much, but I'd imagine he must have been sad, really sad. He was mourning. For his mother, but he was looking for comfort.
Yeah.
But he put God first.
Right.
He was praying, and then God blessed him with a wife, and then that brought comfort
to him. That's beautiful.
And I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. So chapter 25, a very short chapter, and talks about Abraham taking another wife, the sons of, who was Keturah, who bore to him several sons. Do you want to talk about that as well? Because I think that's pretty significant because they are sons of Abraham.
They are. And it's a family reunion. As I always say, it's the whole Isaiah 19, you know, it's Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, Israel, my inheritance. They three will be at peace. And that's what we're looking for is this time of peace. Although the enemy wants to see all these as enemies, always enemies. That's what the enemy wants is to seek to, you know, kill, steal, destroy. But God has a plan for these kids. They're Abraham's kids. I'm Abraham's kid. They're Abraham's kids.
Yeah.
And so you look at Midian, Midian, Ishbak, Shua. Mm. So you see some of these in Isaiah 60 coming and bringing their blessing to Israel. Some of those in that swath of land I just talked about of Assyria and Egypt. Mm. So that whole swath, you can see where that was. That's where these guys lived. So we know that they're going to be in peace, Isaiah 19. Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, Israel, my inheritance. They three will be at peace in the land.
That's so good.
It's going to be beautiful. They're going to bring gifts to Israel. So you see that right now there is a stealing of identity. Ishmael's identity, they're like, you're a Muslim. It's like, well, no, I'm one of the many Arabic peoples, but I'm not a, don't have to be right away a Muslim. I could be an Arab.
Right.
I don't have to be Arab equals Muslim. But that's like something that's very intrinsic, you know.
And it's very interesting that even though they're Muslims, which is, you know, it's a false, as far as we can see, it's not a genuine true faith, but they still carry this tradition of circumcising their firstborn, just all their male children,
right?
So it's like, and it's just like the Lord commanded Abraham, all of his, as a sign of the covenant, all of his children should be circumcised. And then even the sons of Ishmael, you know, the Lord promised him great nations, like 12 sons and all that. It's very similar to what he promised to Isaac.
Yeah.
Right. Through 12. Isaac. The only difference is that it's the Messiah is not going to come through them.
Right.
But it's all God redeemed. Loves them. God really, really loves them.
Yeah.
And the only reason that Ishmael had to be driven out is because it's not because the Lord didn't want Ishmael, it's because he rejected Isaac and that needed to be protected.
Right.
But fast forward to like thousands of years later, we have descendants of Isaac who mostly, for the most part, has rejected the greater Isaac, which is the Yeshua. And then God is using the sons of Ishmael to provoke them to jealousy. Right.
Well, let me read this. Let me just quickly see how these names, I'm just going to go 25 verse 2. So you have Abraham took a wife called Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua. The Jokshan begets Sheba, Dedan. Okay, and it goes on, Epher, Hanoch, Abidia, Elda. Okay, these were kids of Keturah. Now let's quickly, real fast, jump to Isaiah chapter 60, and you look at verse 6. See if some of those names ring. The dromedaries will come and cover thee. They will come from Midian, Epher, Sheba will come. Praises of the Lord, the flocks of Kedar, Nebioth, which you see that is in verse 13. Ishmael's kid, Ishmael, Nebioth, is his firstborn. Nebajoth, that's right there. Nebioth, right? Well, it's the same thing. Will come and minister to you, Israel. Yeah. They're going to come and minister to Israel. And the best part, they will come up with acceptance onto my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Boom. That is those guys.
Wow. Incredible.
I love it.
That's full circle. That's full circle.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
It's like when we did the first episode, right? Remember someone said we see the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
And that is like literally all throughout the stories, throughout the Torah.
Yep.
This is the beginning of the God's physical chosen people. And that now it's going, at the end, it will come full circle.
Touché.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Chaim, for coming back on the show.
Hey, of course. You know, and it's cool to see. It does say there's two nations in your womb, and it was one will be stronger than the other, you know, at the end there. And, but when the
that's
days...
That's actually the next parsha. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. I just love your perspectives. And it's always special to have someone who is in the land, not just connected to Israel, but in the land. I think it helps our audience to really connect their hearts to the land also.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major platforms. Visit our website, ministry website, tillzionsings.com, and follow us on YouTube and Instagram at tillzionsings. Have a great weekend, everyone. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. For more information on Till Zion Sings Ministries and our mission, visit our website www.tillzionsings.com. For daily content, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Till Zion Sings. And lastly, for exclusive bonus content, become a supporting member of the show at patreon.com/tillzionsings.